My name's Sean Collier. I'm back at AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22 in the Palatial Lounge, joined by Addie Twigg. Hi, Addie.
Hi, Sean.
It's been about 150 episodes.
About.
You were on, like, episode 8.
Was I that early?
Yes.
Wow.
And we're so glad to have you back to talk about Inferno. Sure, why not?
Why not?
No, very thrilled to have you. We're going to break down, and Addie is going to be a big help because I kept falling asleep.
Whoopsie.
So it's really her review today. And not only that, it's her theme song. Introduce your own voice right this second.
You can handle.
Oh, that's gonna make a weird effect.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, October 28th, 2016. Happy Halloween. Sorry this isn't a Halloween episode.
Oh, yay,
we did the Scarehouse and like... We don't need October as an excuse to do retro horror episodes, so...
I mean, there's demonic stuff in this movie,
yeah.
So...
Hell was in there.
Yeah.
But happy Halloween. Do you have a costume?
I'm getting there.
Do you know what it is? Do you have a concept?
Yeah, I'm trying to do kind of a creepy tooth fairy type thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have plans and stuff?
Yeah.
Are you doing the Eveline? That's a sentence that only makes sense for people
to.
In Pittsburgh.
We're hoping to, yes.
This was finally going to be my year, and then I was like, $50, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's...
Yeah.
It's a commitment, for sure, but we have a couple parties that night, so the Eveline would be kind of the last stop.
Yeah.
So.
I just reluctantly picked a kid from Stranger Things.
Oh.
So I'm going to be Dustin. And I
wondered,
like,
when I saw your post about the backpack.
Yes.
Okay,
correct.
Good call.
And that was like, okay, that'll be easy. That's just like, I'll get a screen accurate thing, and as long as it has his hat, it'll read enough. And now I've spent so much damn money. Because, like...
That's always how it works.
I was like, well, I gotta buy a denim jacket. And apparently if you buy a nice denim jacket, that's not cheap.
No, no. Not for an adult. Probably not for a kid anymore, either. But.
You're fashionable.
Why, thank you. Is that what this podcast is about?
Yes, it is. Because, like, I spent enough on this denim jacket that it cannot be a costume-only thing.
Yeah.
But what do you wear with a denim jacket? Because not jeans.
I was going to say, no other denim.
That's the Canadian tuxedo.
It's basically just, what do you wear with denim? Not denim.
Anything other than
anything
denim.
Anything with denim.
Fine. Okay, cool. anyway, happy Halloween. I'm sure we'll have a horror retro soon. But welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
And thank you for doing the theme music. It's great.
Oh, I'm very happy with it. I'm glad you guys like.
And thank you for... You know that we swear because of you on this
you
show,
do?
Right?
Oh, really?
Because that was really early. That was episode 7.
Did I break
seven
the seal?
Eight. Yes.
Yes!
It was for the first 7 or 8. We're like, we'll just not swear and it'll be fine. And then I forgot to tell you. And it was like a parade of F-bombs in the first 10 minutes. And I just remember sitting there thinking, I guess we swear now. Well, okay.
Well, we went to see Bad Grandpa.
Right.
It's appropriate to swear when you're reviewing that.
Definitely.
Come on. It's
no,
the Jackass crew.
Right.
If you're going to swear for anybody, it should be Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say Jimmy Knoxville, that's wrong.
But that's made it so much easier, because then, for years now, we would have had to be like, don't swear, like, someone accidentally
Addie
would.
Addie swore, but that was the end of it.
Right, no, you were a freeing presence on the podcast.
Oh, I love that's my legacy. It
What's
makes me so happy.
Does Add It Up still exist?
No, I haven't been doing it because of the band, of the telephone line.
Let's
it
talk about the telephone line, then.
Well, it's a pop rock soul kind of band. And we play around Pittsburgh bars and clubs and private events.
Yeah.
All the music festivals.
Yeah. There's no festival that you're not a part of.
Yeah, basically. So we're doing that and it's great. I love being in a band. I really do. It's, it's and the fact that it's original music too, because I've sung covers since the beginning of time, but it's just a completely different animal to write your own music, and so that really does take up all my time, because when I was doing the podcast, to really to really do it how I wanted, because I was producing and everything on my own, it would take 3 to 5 hours per episode if I really wanted to do it right. And I know people enjoyed it, and I loved doing it. I still miss it, but I just, my focus is on the band. It's on music now.
Hey, do you want to do a podcast and not produce it on your own? Go to epicastnetwork.com/services. They're our network. They do everything for us, photography, production. They do everything. And tell them we sent you. Just say that You Can't Handle the Truth sent you, because starting a pod, having the idea to start a podcast and having great conversations with people you like, that's easy and that's fun. And if you don't have someone doing the production for you,
that takes time. Yeah,
that's what have the production and the hosting. Yeah. That's the time consuming thing.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't do that ad right now. It was just such a natural transition.
I set you up.
Yeah. Epicastnetwork.com/services.
Epicast, call me.
Yes. Hey. We'll get that going again, because that was great.
I enjoyed it.
That was a lot of fun.
It was fun, and everyone I had on, I think, had a great time. And
that was before I could name 40 local podcasts.
Wow.
That's when I could name, like, 5, and yours was one of them.
That's great.
And I think it got a good bit of attention early on before.
And I think it was important, you know, to be a woman podcaster, you know, there's, you know, Camila Adams is also, you know, Camila.
Yeah.
She has a couple podcasts running, and, she's still doing it. And it makes me long for the days when I was doing a podcast, when I see hers and I listen to her episodes, because it really is a fun art.
Yeah.
And
you had a whole setup. You had a basement with headphones and microphones.
My microphones had styrofoam on them.
They did.
We're
talking
colored styrofoam.
We're talking at a phone, because Aaron's the one who owns the thing, and he could not be here this week. But yeah, and check out the telephone line if you're curious but don't want to commit. You're on Spotify,
aren't
you?
We are on Spotify. Yeah. And as much as I would love to make money off of our music, it's more important to me that people just listen and connect with it and enjoy it.
Right.
If you want to listen for free, listen on Spotify. The name of our album is Tied Up, and the telephone line is the name of the band, or you can find us at telephonelineband.com.
You
on Facebook and all that good stuff.
Anything coming up?
Yeah, we actually just booked a show. I don't know when this is coming out, but
this is coming out in 2 days.
November 18th.
Okay.
Perfect. At James Street, up in the ballroom upstairs.
Oh, beautiful.
With a band called Android that is new to me, I'm going to learn about, and the Buckle Downs, who I have admired from afar from a very long time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a night of, you know, some powerhouse female vocals and just three bands who really enjoy each other. The people in them really enjoy each other. And the James Street Ballroom is incredible. They had it shut down after Deutschtown, and they soundproofed it, and they're back in business now. You know, James Street is just, it's one of those, it's just a gem. And, you know, if you haven't been there yet, you have to go. Even if it's not the night that we're there, you have to go to support that place. They've got 3 levels of music in that place. It's insane.
The basement is really, really fun. That's
where
they do. The speakeasy, they do more jazz down there.
It's so great. We've played there
perfect.
A few times.
Yeah.
I mean, they did, you know, we played there for like Layer Cake, and we've done a couple of gigs there with like Found Sound, and it's just this teeny tiny, and it's a speakeasy.
Mm-hmm.
It really is in the truest sense. And it feels so intimate when you're in there. It's just, you know, if there are 2 people there, the place is full. You know, it's a really great vibe.
We don't have long conversations about the music scene here all that often, because we have all these damn funny people on all the time. But it's unbelievable. And like, the deeper I go into paying attention to it, the better it gets.
I agree.
I think people who aren't paying attention assume, oh yeah, there's probably a couple of good bands, and then you just find like pockets and,
yeah.
and different segments of it, and
yeah.
there's just so much good stuff going on
and something for
everywhere.
Everyone. Yeah.
yeah,
yeah, it really is. Like if you're not paying attention, I do think it's easy to miss.
Yeah,
and a lot of people go like local bands, blah
right.
blah blah. They hear the word local and they're just put off.
Yeah,
but we played two private gigs recently where people came up to us and they were like, "Well, where are you guys from? Like, you're not
yeah.
from Pittsburgh, right?" And we're like, "No, we're a Pittsburgh band."
Yeah,
people just they think of a local band and they think of just like. A shitty wedding band
right.
that just plays covers and you
right.
know and there's other, I love covers.
Yeah,
there is nothing wrong with that.
I love shitty wedding
but,
bands. It's fun.
But there are original bands
right.
that do original music and they're independent and they're doing it on their own and they sound great. They're
yeah.
just so many different genres and there really is a little bit of everything and it's thriving.
Yeah,
it's thriving.
I mean. Are you picking up that I don't have that much to say about Inferno yet?
I think the audience probably is.
Right. But that's your main endeavor right now is the telephone line.
Yeah,
and you pop
is.
Up for something at Arcade
every
now and then.
Oh, yeah,
every
now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you part of the Knights thing last weekend, or am I making
no,
that up?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't done Knights yet. Maybe
okay.
someday I will.
Oh, I'm sure you're
it's
on
a fun
the
show.
Short list.
Yeah.
but in any case, listen to the telephone line. Certainly before you see this movie. But
yeah.
no, really. It doesn't happen that often. Sometimes, like, the right magic formula of I'm kind of sleepy, the theater's very comfortable.
It was cozy in there. It was warm.
Right. The
yeah.
temperature is right, and the movie does not really have me.
Yeah.
And even as a dedicated film critic, I'll just miss a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
So... I'll go off of your opinion. If my opinion matches yours, I'll assume I'm right.
okay.
Even if... Yeah, just go general... Well, no, we should go back. I mean, how do you feel about... This, is, of course, is the third... I guess we're
mm-hmm.
calling it the Robert Langdon series.
Sure.
The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons. And now Inferno. Do you have a relationship with any of that?
Well, I've seen the other movies.
Yeah.
I've never read the books. Have you read the books?
No.
I've seen the other movies, and I enjoyed Da Vinci Code, you
yeah.
know. I don't remember a whole lot about the first two. It was a while ago, and they
yeah.
weren't, like, you know, whatever, super memorable. But I have a feeling that if you're someone who enjoyed the books, you probably would enjoy the movie, because it's
sure.
all the same stuff. And Tom Hanks is great. He's Tom Hanks,
yeah.
whatever. The things that I tend to notice, I will fully admit right now, I'm pushing 40, and when I watch a movie now, it's typically the little shit that, like, stands out to me that I remember and I
yeah.
notice, because, and maybe this is the movie-watching cynic in me who's just kind of like, yeah, a lot of stories have already been told, am
right.
I going to learn anything new from the, you know, whatever,
right.
unless it really grabs me, unless
yeah.
it's really great, and I just go, oh my god, holy shit, this is, you know, amazing.
Yeah.
So, okay, it was a fun, you know, mystery with a little bit of action.
Yeah.
And, you know, ooh, it makes you think about stuff, and there's a twist, and there's a whatever. What I get hung up on is the fact that the female sidekick is literally running around in heels.
Oh, yeah.
The
Jurassic
literally
World.
Running.
The Jurassic World
yes,
phenomena.
Thank you. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was actually, it's actually distracting to me at this point.
Well, I had the same reaction, if only in the scene where, and no real spoilers, remember, but.
I know
this,
where you're going. Go
this
ahead.
Is, yeah. they're climbing over, like,
yes.
narrow wooden planks. And I wanted to be like, you'd be better off in your bare feet at this point.
Yes!
Like, and okay, little spoiler, she falls immediately,
yeah.
because obviously
surprise.
You're wearing heels.
Surprise,
why
yeah.
Yeah,
and they finally they finally put her in tennis shoes at the end of the movie. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Now, I don't...
That makes sense.
I don't know if spoilers matter too much here. I won't
yeah,
I won't
no,
say
we won't,
the
we
additional
won't, we
piece
won't,
of that, but...
Well, yeah, we will not,
but
we will not spoil that.
She has
but,
changed to tennis shoes at the end of the movie, and I just
yeah.
was like, of course, now she's in... Yeah.
Well, yes, that was worth picking up on. And just... that character's weird, and we can't get into it without spoiling
yeah,
things,
yeah.
but that character's weird.
Yeah.
To go more... broad, but I guess this could be because I was sleepy, but I really feel like this is and I felt the same way about the last one. It's a really boring story just with smart stuff painted on top of it. Like, if you take away Tom Hanks' constant monologues about history and literature, which, I mean, you can set your watch, every 6 minutes he's going to go, well, in the 1600s, they built a fort. Like, that's, and going to talk for 45 seconds along those lines.
And the Latin word for fort is blah, whatever, right. You know, it's like, okay.
You know, one of my, this was a while ago. The last one of these movies, I know for a fact, was at least 7 years ago. And I know that for a fact because one of my first stand-up jokes ever was ripping on the previous movie. Was making fun of Angels and Demons. And I loved it, but at a certain point, Angels and Demons is no longer a topical enough reference to be doing on stage.
Yeah.
But it happens here, too. And I don't remember the wording, but it was basically pointing out that, like, in one scene, he will, like, draw on knowledge of the way a church was built 700 years ago, and he's the only person on the planet who knows it, and he also speaks 18 languages and knows everything that's ever happened and can decode things in the blink of an eye, and that's the only way he figures it out. And then the very next scene, it'll be, like, a simple word puzzle.
Yeah.
It's there's this weird, like, imbalance of, one, he's the only person on the planet who could possibly figure this out. But I swear in Angels and Demons, one of the clues was like, we found the statue. It's pointing that way. Let's go. And it's like, so if you take out all of the, you know, references, it's just a movie about, we got to find the thing. There's a thing, we got to find it.
Yeah.
A couple people are probably going to switch and we're not going to know who to trust. In the middle.
Yeah.
But but it's just going to be, we got to the place. Now we got to go to the other place. We're going to run down an Italian alleyway and get to the other place. Now we're at that place.
It's a scavenger hunt.
It's scavenger hunt the movie. It's like, maybe some people will die.
You've seen Midnight Madness, yes.
No, what's
like
that?
80s, I think early 80s. It's like Michael J. Fox's first movie.
Okay.
And it's like this really great, like, silly movie about a bunch of teenagers on a scavenger hunt. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what this is, except they put Latin on top of it.
Right.
That's all it is.
It just feels really thin and repetitive, and I was just lulled into unconsciousness on this one.
Yeah. Let's hurry up and run to the next location.
Right.
And decode something. And then hurry up and run to the next location and decode something.
Literally, there were two big chunks where I was kind of in and out. And at both times when I, like, went, oh, right, whoa, I was like, oh, okay, I don't need to know what I just missed. They're a little closer to the thing? All right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I guess it's fun for, I often find myself saying, this movie's probably great for boring people, but, like, I don't want to be that big of a jerk, but, like, yeah, this is, like, yeah, you know, is this for, let's take, I don't mean to imply that everyone's mom is boring, but is this like, let's take mom to the movies?
Well, this is a thrill for mom.
Right.
I mean, this is mom thrill seeking.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
essentially what it is.
Is it, you know, if you've seen a lot of movies, this isn't that great, and if you haven't seen many... It's wonderful.
Well, and moms all read these books, right?
Sure.
So that's another reason they would really enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
I have a question for you as the movie guy, because you know more about movies in general.
Yeah, you host this one. When because, you...
Thanks for joining me, Sean.
My head wasn't in it tonight.
So for a series like this, you have the very first one, Da Vinci Code, and even I had heard of that book, and I was
cool,
I'll go see that, you know, whatever. When you get to the third movie like this, and it's like, was there even a book? I don't know, because I didn't read them. Like, there was, because I asked somebody.
Yeah.
But then you kind of go like, are they kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel when they're looking for producers and directors? Because you end up with lines like, he's a very resourceful man.
Yeah.
You know? And I just was like, really? Are we really there?
I think this is the book that was written after it became a big global hit. So this is like the, you should probably come up with another one story.
Yeah, that helps to explain it.
But, you know, Ron Howard directed it. I'm
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I forgot in the opening credits.
But
he didn't write the
No. I'm sure that they had legitimate people adapting it. I think that when that happens, like, yes, there is some amount of, like, you know, the returns are going to diminish. And
yeah,
it just is, how are you going to try to hype up but this time, right?
Yeah.
And I think that a big part of that now is that it's been, it has, like I said, it's been at least 7 years since the last one of these. So I guess they're hoping that it's like, oh, it's back. There's another one, getting that hook. Or with the Bourne movie that came out. And I already forget, like a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's, oh, Matt Damon's back for this one. But everything, that's the tricky thing. Everything now wants to be the never-ending franchise,
right?
Like the Marvel series or the Star Wars.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Right.
Fast, Seven, Furious, Eight, I don't know.
Right.
Whatever.
But when you're just one thing and you're serious, that's way trickier. Like, Fast and Furious can do it forever because it's just like, just make it a little bit more goofy every time.
Yeah,
and it's
pick a different
part
this time.
And when it's, you know, Marvel or Star Wars, they have, like, endless characters.
It's an endless universe.
Yes.
It's a whole other universe.
Right.
Yeah.
But when it's this, and it's like, okay, this is the third one of these.
Right, and it's like, well, we'll base it off of this one document. Like, historical document or whatever. It's just like, you're really reaching.
Oh, and by the way, this is the most preposterous way to deliver secret information. I'm trying to remember this. At least in the original one, it was like, this has been hidden for hundreds of years, and it was a code that was meant to stand the test of time. No one was ever supposed to find it. It was rarefied knowledge. Okay, this one. Minor spoilers. Not even really. This one, like, the mystery is set up now, today. So it's just some dude that rather than, how do I say this without spoiling it? Basically, this is a mystery because rather than telling people, hey, here's where the thing is hidden, don't tell anybody. He sets up a goddamn international scavenger hunt with coded messages on ancient artworks.
Yeah.
That it's just like, dude, you're trying way too hard at this point.
Right, and you also have to trust, and hopefully this doesn't spoil anything, but you also have to trust that the people who are searching for the answers are willing to maybe deface some of those ancient artworks.
Yes.
When you're dealing with a scholar who has dedicated his life to those kind of artifacts, is that really a risk you want to take?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
seems kind of
a
little risky.
This all count as a spoiler, but I'll be vague about it. I liked the moment of the movie where one of our characters did a murder and destroyed an ancient work of art at the same time. It was like, that's so many crimes.
Just all in a row.
I will actually call that the highlight of the movie. Because it was so, if you see this movie, you'll know what I mean. It was so like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, it was, for me it was more like, ooh.
Yeah.
That went very fast. It comes in waves.
Yeah.
It was probably the best moment, I agree. Although I really, I loved the Sims character.
Hmm?
Sims.
Who?
The, like, head of the organization.
Oh, yeah. He was fun.
Yeah, he was really fun. I enjoyed him. He was good for, like, comic relief in some parts.
Was it explained who the hell they were when I was asleep? Because I didn't have a clue. Okay.
I gather that they were just, like, an organization that rich people pay to carry out their wishes.
Okay.
Like, when they die, maybe?
And the other big, player in this is the World Health Organization, which apparently has a significant military force I've been unaware of up until this point.
Who knew?
Yeah. It's like, oh, is this Interpol or is this like a Black Ops? No, it's the WHO. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, that was also
There's some stretches.
A couple. Yeah.
Just just turn your brain off and let Tom Hanks talk to you and...
Yeah, I also, and at the moment when you, where you get the twist, without trying to spoil anything,
yeah, if you
in,
could,
in
it,
that twist
there
moment,
was definitely going to be a twist.
I definitely, right, and yeah. you kind of suspect what the twist
right.
might be, even from the beginning, you're like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
And then when the twist finally happens, at least for me, I kind of went, well, it doesn't make sense for that to happen right now.
No.
Why didn't it happen it was, sooner, or why would it happen...
Just
it doesn't
moment,
make any sense.
A moment of particular dramatic
because
tension.
The information that sets off that twist.
Right.
How did the person involved in the twist know
yeah.
that it was really the right information this time?
Right.
It was wrong before. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just went, I call your bluff on that.
No, it's this and many other things. It's like, just don't stop to think, and you'll do okay.
Just go with it. Take a nap.
Right.
Take another nap.
I can recommend.
Now I feel like I missed out.
Well, you know, I feel like the ideal circumstances for watching this are like, you know, 4 months from now on a transatlantic overnight flight.
Yeah.
Where you like put this on.
Yeah.
And if you fade out, it's fine.
Yep.
You're going to be, it's just, it's going to kill 2 hours.
In fact, it adds to the mystique.
Right.
I think it would at least be like, this is riveting. How do they, mm-hmm. you know, whereas I was watching the whole time without falling asleep and I was kind of like, all right. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to have a conversation about Tom Hanks specifically, but we'll do that after the break. But before we take a break, I'm going to cough. Wasn't that... I felt that happening. I was like, I'm going to end a sentence, and then I'm going to have to cough.
Here it comes.
And it's going to be unprofessional. in addition to checking out the Epicast Network, who produces this show, does a great job. If you need something done, go check them out, epicastnetwork.com/services. Don't forget to go to Goods and Evil, goodsandevil.com. You know where I was earlier? I was at Target. And I went up to the print T-shirts.
Oh, boy.
And I thought... I wear a Jurassic Park T-shirt around. And no, don't give Target that money.
No.
Give it to somebody cool, like goodsandevil.com.
Who's going to have more than just like a logo?
Right. They're going to do something fun with it. I was at Evil, not Evil Dead Weekend, Living Dead Fest last weekend, wishing I had worn a Goods and Evil shirt, because then people would have stopped me and been impressed.
Right, yeah.
And because they have great Evil Dead shirts and Friday the 13th shirts, Back to the Future, The Thing, they have great stuff. Go to goodsandevil.com, use the offer code HANDLE, that's the middle word, and you can't handle the truth, and you'll get some money off of your order. I forget how much right now, but it's going to be... enough that you think it's nice, but not, like, it's nothing crazy. But you'll be, oh, that's good, you know. Goodsandevil.com, offer code HANDLE. We'll be right back after this word from the Epicast Network.
Hey, yo, I'm Ed Bailey. I'm here with...
Dave Bracey.
And we are the Drinking Partners Podcast on Epicast Network. Fucked it up. Make sure you check us out, man. We got the Comedy Fuel, which is really supposed to be beer-fueled comedy podcast, but...
Craft Beer Fuel Pod. Motherfucker, right. Man. I'm going to have to write that down.
What up? Craft Fuel Beer Podcast.
Yeah, Craft Fuel...
Craft Brew Fuel Podcast. Okay. Craft Brew Fuel. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy. Those are not four words that you say normally. All right. Craft Brew, you knew that I was going to fuck up. You knew. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast. All right, so Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast on...
You can find us on epicastnetwork.com/partnerspod. You can find us at partnerspod on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Libsyn under Drinking Partners.
Yo, if you ain't heard and if you don't know, Drinking Partners is the crew. Epicast is the family. Make sure you check us out, man.
And we're back. Do you have anything else to plug before I forget? Do you have anything else coming up?
I would just generally say go to my website, which is myname.com, Addie Twigg, ADDITWIGG.com. Because I have a lot of musical endeavors in addition to the telephone line. And I revamped my website to really focus on my music. So go check it out and poke fun at it or critique it.
Yeah.
And send me a message critiquing my website.
I have so much comedy in places where, like, the odds that we have any listeners are just so, so tiny. So I'll do an early plug. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this. People don't know. One of the biggest comedy weekends of the year, probably the biggest comedy weekend of the year, is Thanksgiving weekend.
Really?
Because everyone is home.
Right.
And other than one night, everyone's looking for stuff to do.
Oh, right, because they're not tied up in Christmas holiday.
Right.
Like holiday,
right.
Like family stuff, and yeah.
So I've got a ton going on. I particularly want to mention at Comtra Theater in Cranberry, where I have been before performing musicals as a teenager.
Wow.
Yeah, two runs of the Rocky Horror Show. When it's just a musical, you don't say picture. It's just the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh,
at ages 15 and 17, and I think The Wizard of Oz came before that.
Really?
And now I'll go there and tell dick jokes. So a bit of a transition.
Are you going to tell dick jokes to the tune of, you know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Probably. No. There's our podcast brothers, Ed Bailey. I thought I had reversed their names, but I didn't. Ed Bailey and Dave Bracey are hosting a Drinking Partners show there 2 days after Thanksgiving, so the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I'm on the show. Felicia Gillespie's on the show. I think Ray Zawadny's on the show. If not, someone as good as Ray Zawadny is on the show. Music and comedy, and I've heard it's a great room for stand-up. It's theater in the round, so the people are on all sides.
I'm into that.
That's a shift.
Yeah.
That's a change.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's going to be a great show.
Sort of disarming in a way. Like, oh, there are people behind. Yeah.
Yeah. Look up Drinking Partners. And they, by the way, are coming up on their 100th episode spectacular.
Wow.
So go to that.
Good for them.
Go to that and then see the show on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Speaking of Rocky Horror, I guess I'll mention it here. What's your relationship with Rocky Horror?
I didn't really discover it until adulthood.
Yeah.
And I've never actually seen a live production.
Okay.
I've seen the movie in the theater.
Yeah.
And I've seen the Tim Curry version. Like just on TV or on, you know, whatever. Like,
but you've seen the movie in the theater with the whole stuff.
Yeah, the whole shebang.
I have a long history, having done the stage version a couple times in high school, and then briefly, I was one of those people doing the movie thing, like when I was like 23. Just always loved it, and so yesterday I had a phone interview with Barry Bostwick, who played Brad.
Yes.
And you know him, he was the mayor on Spin City, and he's done many other things. I didn't realize until I started doing my research, the original Danny in Grease on Broadway as well.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he has a Tony for some musical that never gets produced anymore. But
really?
Yeah.
No shit.
And I played Brad when I was 15.
Wow.
So I was super pumped, and I kept it, like, very, like, professional question for, like, 20 minutes. And then I revealed, like, okay, I was really pumped for this because and this and Rocky Horror, and I love it, and it's an important part of my life. And, like, he was so pumped at that point. Like, he was so excited that I had, like, this personal... I was, like, asking
about shared
the theater.
Experience. Yeah.
And, like, where did you do it and when? And when were you shadow casting? And, like, and had all of these questions. And, like, literally told me he loved me by the end of it. It was so, you know... I don't do that many of those interviews. But, like, most of them, it's just, like, you walk away going, like... Yeah, they were nice. They were polite. They were very, you know, they answered all the questions.
They were human, yeah.
And Barry Bostwick just is such a cool guy. So if you're in Pittsburgh, go see him at Wizard World, because that's what we were talking about.
There's
three people from Daredevil, and including John Bernthal, who's from many other things as well. And Nichelle Nichols is there, and... one Walking Dead person. It's Wizard World. You'll walk around and be like, oh, there's that guy. It's fun. It's a good time.
Okay, can we pause for a second? Because you said that you played Brad at the age of 15.
Yes.
What? I mean, that is... That seems unusually young to be in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Or Rocky Horror Show.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it was. That's fair. I had my parents dropping me off at rehearsal to play Brad.
And they knew what it was.
Yeah.
Because I grew up a sheltered preacher's kid.
Yeah.
And at the age of 15, I was president of the youth group.
You would not have been...
I didn't even know Rocky Horror existed.
You would not have been wearing fishnets in a show that people paid
Although
to see.
Although I'm wearing fishnets now.
You are.
Funny.
Yeah. No, I didn't even... At the time, I thought nothing of it. I thought, oh, this is the next musical I'm doing.
But you really understood what everything meant.
I understood who was fucking who. I mean, I probably didn't fully grasp, the sexual and cultural politics of the show and its place in history.
Right.
But, I knew what was going on there. I knew that Brad is, someone who's very secure in his world that then is exposed to homosexuality and just flagrant sexuality and drugs and all of these things, and it kind of ruins him.
Yeah.
I got that's what was happening.
That's pretty heavy for a 15-year-old. I know I'm sheltered.
Yeah.
Trust me, I wasn't even allowed to watch Grease when I was a little kid.
Okay, so. Yeah, no, it just seemed like, I think that you, cross a threshold with, getting into doing musicals, what I did when I was 13, and, you're kind of always, wearing something weird, and, most musicals...
Or singing something
right,
weird.
Right, most musicals that aren't Godspell, which I did that too, or The Wizard of Oz, have some element that's, not for... And you're just I'm just doing this thing now. And so I didn't think of it. Looking back, weird. And it's weird to think of the fact that most of that cast was probably under 18.
Yeah.
Do
you know any 15-year-olds right now? Any 15-year-old boys?
No.
Nephews?
I mean, I know my cousin is 8. I have an 18-year-old cousin.
Okay. So imagine 3 years ago if your cousin had played Brad and...
Yeah.
Wouldn't you kind of be like, oh, that's young.
Yeah, that's true.
For that role. Seriously.
But that's community theater. This particular community theater was usually very safe. Was usually either completely inoffensive British farces, or South Pacific, and this was the pushing it thing, and then they made them, they found a way to do Hair a year later, but at the time, it would go in cycles, and every now and then, there was a bunch of musical theater schools and stuff concentrated in the North Hills, and there would just always be 15, 16-year-olds around who could sing and perform, who were just I want somewhere else to do a thing, and ended up there.
Wow.
Right? Thing funny only to me and you that the podcast listeners will not care about.
Oh, boy.
You know who else was in that?
Who?
Megan Etzel.
Oh, Megan!
Yes. I think she was in it when I was 17. Yeah, because I did it twice there.
Of course she was.
And she was in that. And was the lead dancer in the show.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
That's really where we met.
It just makes me feel like I was such a late bloomer.
I mean, are you better off, though?
I don't know that I would say that.
There's a lot to introduce
at
15.
There's got to be some middle ground there, right?
Yeah. anyway, things that might be relevant. I don't know. How long have we been here?
I don't know.
Maybe Extra Butter is just my conversation with Barry Bostwick, and then we're... No, before we go, I just want to get this out into the world in a meaningful way. I never decided how I feel about Tom Hanks.
In general?
Yes. I have always felt like he's a good, not... transcendent actor, he's very good and not I think I was having this conversation with my mother at one point. I was like, okay, there's like that top, like, I go to Philip Seymour Hoffman or Daniel Day-Lewis or like the people who are really like, wow, he's not there.
He feels very safe.
Yeah, he's very good for a very safe actor.
Yeah.
Who occasionally has done some really good work. Like, I think Captain Phillips is perfect. I think that's his best role. One of his best roles. And he's very charming, but like, sometimes he'll be somewhere being charming Tom Hanks, and it'll annoy me a little bit.
It's like
bit.
A little too much.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, this is not the time to be charming, or,
Yeah.
I don't know, I know what you mean.
It's not smarmy, it's not douchey, it's a little bit like, just like, someone who knows that anything that he ever says, we're gonna go, oh, you're great.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your general thoughts on Tom Hanks?
I do really enjoy him in Big.
Sure.
I mean, you have seen Big, yes.
No.
I was gonna say, is that on your list? It's on your list. Man.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I find that he's great in Big, but you know, I think I'm certainly not alone in that.
Right.
But,
it's not an unpopular opinion.
I guess that means he's good at playing a child. I don't know that really means anything. But he is very good in that movie at capturing kind of the youthful essence of, you know, prepubescent boy, I guess, or pubescent boy. I don't know. But, I do. He's just kind of that sort of everyman, I guess. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like he's not even a real person. It's just like, oh, that robot Tom Hanks is in this movie, and it's
well, he's
you know what I mean. Like,
he's kind of the ultimate relatable movie star, isn't he? Because he's not like strikingly handsome. He's not flashy.
Right, that's what I mean by everyman. He's just like, okay, you know, he could be like your. He could be the lead in a Community production of something. Oh, Tom Hanks is in this. I loved him in what they did last year.
He seems so approachable that, like, if he walked in here right now, I wouldn't have the, like, oh, my God. It would be like, oh, Tom Hanks is here.
Oh, not me. Okay. I would still go gaga. Oh, Tom Hanks.
I mean, I'd have things to say to him. But it seems like, you know, if you ended up at a party with him, he would just be, like, normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, there was something that was always a little like, I don't need a whole lot of you. And then it was completely demolished 5 days ago by David Pumpkins.
I didn't see it yet.
Oh, it's so good.
I keep seeing all the stuff about it and I'm behind.
Just go home and watch that.
Okay.
It's like 4 minutes. And I'm trying to get into writing sketch. And it was this is simultaneously everything that I want to do in the world, and I know I will never come up with anything that works like this. Because it was like what SNL can't really do anymore is just like perfectly structured and weird and funny all the way. And he killed it. Like, oh my God, it was so good.
Just as an aside to that, I saw like a still from it where he's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And I thought he was Martin Short. At first.
Oh!
I was like, oh, Martin Short was on... And then I was like, oh, it's Tom Hanks.
Their faces are melding into one another.
And there's a picture floating around that claims to be the blue versus white...
Oh, it's the new blue dress.
Blue versus gold dress thing, where it's like, is it Tom Hanks or is it Bill Murray? And you can't tell because he's, like, sort of squinting.
I did see that.
So
but it's definitely Bill Murray, right?
No, I think it's Tom Hanks.
Okay. I mean, I saw that, and I was like, that's so clearly Bill Murray.
No,
that this,
I was like,
that
that's
this
so
cannot
clearly
even...
Tom Hanks.
All right, it's a thing.
Oh, my God.
This is 2 days from now, so, like, go to, like, your third grade teacher's Facebook page, and it'll just be landing
okay,
there now.
Don't laugh at my phone. It's destroyed right now. I told you about my tragedy. That is so Tom Hanks.
Oh, I was just like, that's so clearly Bill Murray.
No way. I don't know. I don't know that this.
But
really
we must know, right? That's like a stock photo, or that's like a Getty Images photo, or something. That like, surely there's an answer to this question.
I know.
All right, we're going to investigate this further. But yeah, weigh in on who that is on Twitter.
I think not to us, I think it's Bill Murray, actually, based on what they're saying here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you saw that and went, that's definitely Tom Hanks.
Oh, I totally thought Tom Hanks. You don't see the Tom Hanks in that?
No, I saw Bill Murray's face immediately.
I was like, why would anyone even see Bill Murray? It's totally Tom Hanks.
Like, if I force my brain to think of Tom Hanks, I can see where you're coming from.
And if
from.
I force the Bill Murray, I can see it.
Okay, that's fun. Hey,
I'm sure I'm wrong, though, because I think this is saying it's Bill Murray, so.
We are going to go home. Yeah. But before we do, we'll rate this movie. Before we do that, I'll rate last week's movie, because Aaron said something funny, and I was like, edit point, and I just stopped the recording, because you try to go out on a laugh. But last week's movie was so memorable that I can't come up with what it is. That's what's happening now. I'm now more than 7 years in as a film critic, and like, things are flying out of my head. Like, being over 30 is probably contributing to that.
It doesn't help.
But like, and there's so many movies kind of like the movie we just watched.
Oh,
a
so
2 hour kind of thriller, kind of action.
Where with a white guy saves the world.
Where a white guy saves
the
world.
And there's a cute girl.
That it's like, what did we do an episode on last week? Was last week the Scare House episode? And I'm just forgetting it. Why did
it was October 21st?
Why? What? How does this happen?
No. I don't know.
May I use your phone?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to look up the last episode of this show. while you're doing that, just to give a rating to, I was about to say Angels and Demons, Inferno. Oh, and by the way, that stuff was cool, right? The stuff where he's having visions of
hell. Oh, yeah, that part I enjoyed. Good. I don't know if Facebook helps you, but I enjoy. In fact, I wanted to see more of that because it was so gruesome and like, ugh, creepy.
It was Jack Reacher, too. It was Jack Reacher.
So
never
forgettable.
Go back.
Totally a white guy
saving the world. Which that rating would have been like, it would have been like 2. When we walked out, 2 out of 10. When we were walking out together going, is this the worst movie of the year?
Oh, God.
It was real, real bad. 2, like, tending towards 1. And I don't think Aaron would argue with that at all. This is, it's so just there. Like, there's not really anything other than little, you know, we could get into some things to complain about, but there's not really any, like, big, big problem, but it's just...
There's no big problem, but there's also no big excitement. It's not like, there's nothing great about
it. There's nothing to recommend it. It's a movie is happening.
Yeah.
I guess I'd go 6 because there's no bad actors in it. You know, it's on the good side of bad, but I can't go higher than that. On a scale of 1 to 10?
I think I'd have to give it a 5. And I'll tell you, the other thing that bothered me, I have a real problem with suspension of disbelief. I just do. I just struggle because I'm in that world and I need certain things to make it make sense. And I just normally don't get it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he, you know, not to spoil anything, but he has an incident where he's like physically injured or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's like running all over the world, like literally running, and he's not out of breath. He's not collapsing. He's not sick. He's not, you know, he's fine. I'm like, this is a 40 something man in the movie, the character.
Oh, probably older than that.
I was just like, this is not,
no.
Cause like I'm 37 and when I wake up from a nap, I can't fucking do that.
So
like I'm going to have to give it a 5 cause it was just like, I just don't buy it.
Believability is not a thing at all.
Nope.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Just to confirm your legacy, just swear some.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.